WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively moving out to the county this week, so things are happening around here. It's busy. My wife thinks we might need a second vehicle, and I said, I know a guy that might have one for us. That is Colossus joins us here. He'll be here on Thursday from 3 until 5, despite the fact that the Ravens are not playing. Boy, we hit the trifecta on Sunday. We haven't had a whole lot of Sundays where you get the Eagles, Red or Cowboys, and Steelers all eliminated all in the same day. Then I said, you know, it's not all bad being on the sidelines. Maybe the Giants should be stealing Joe Ortiz before the week's over, right?
Yeah, not bad at all. But I think this wild card weekend spoke to the fact of parity in the league and how some of these teams probably shouldn't have been in the playoffs, right? You have 2 9-win teams and both conferences getting in the form of the Eagles and the Steelers, and they both really didn't show up. Big discrepancy in talent between those teams and the teams they lost to. So this is what the league wanted. They wanted watered down. They wanted more inclusiveness. And sometimes with that, you don't get a really good product. And so it is what it is. But you know what? We all tuned in and we were entertained for the most part, even if you like watching blowouts, that is.
Well, I mean, to your point, you would say that the second best team and the seventh best team, there should be a wide discrepancy. It should be a 12.5 point dog. If you snuck into the playoffs with a gimpy old quarterback and you're coming to play the best team that wasn't the one seed, the best team was the 2 seed. So because they limped through October and November, right? So as I wear my red Coons Ford shirt, by the way, I wore my Bengals turtleneck that Marvin gave me the other day. And I'm wearing it. It was a little tighter than I like, and it's not because I've gained weight or whatever. It just felt like it was for skiing. You know, it was like a little tight on my skin. And I wore it though, because the B was orange and it looked sort of like a Baltimore B to some degree. And last time I wore it, they were showing all the highlights of the Vontaze Perfect Pac-Man Jones incident. Look, man, I feel good for those people. I know people from Cincinnati. I'm not necessarily even rooting for them, but I don't really hate Joe Burrow yet. I can probably be talked into that a few more losses from that. I didn't hate Carson Palmer or Andy Dalton, but I learned. But I would say this for them. They're interesting. The Bills are interesting. The Titans have been sitting at home. This is an interesting tournament, not to mention Rodgers and Brady, right? That only one of them can be in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I agree with you. I didn't see the 49ers pulling off the upset against the Cowboys. So again, anything can happen. The home teams don't always win. The favorite teams don't always win, which is why we tuned in. And of course, who didn't enjoy the dismantling of the New England Patriots at the hands of the Buffalo Bills, who gave us a historic performance in Nestor. Seven drives, 7 touchdowns in the playoff game. Who does that?
I know you to be a very generous man, you know, comes from your background. I feel the same way about this. I can hate on these fans and coaches and situations and old players doing stuff or whatever. But Cincinnati and Buffalo, you know, we don't sweat that, you know, let them have a good time. You know what I mean? Like, if it can't be us, better them than the Cowboys or the Eagles or the Steelers or the Washington, whatever they're calling themselves this week or whatever. So I, this Buccaneers, I was watching them play on Sunday, and there's Gronkowski and nobody's guarding him, right? Just running here, running there. 87. He's a Hall of Famer. You might want to put a body or two. You might want to chip him at the line of scrimmage or whatever. And I'm watching it. Dennis, the last time I saw a game in Tampa was that Flacco, because Mike Evans, I remember I was on the field at the end of that game, and we won that game, 51-3 or something. And it was ridiculous. We played down there. And I remember seeing Mike Evans there walking off the field. And I thought, man, that's a big guy. That's a man. I mean, he was a rookie. And they were so terrible. There were 5,000 to 8,000 fans in the stadium. It was the smallest attendance I'd ever seen at a game this side of the Liberty Bowl, right? I was at that game. And there were couple 5,000 Raven fans there that day. It was beautiful out. Chris Pike and I went to the game that day. And I watched this thing on Sunday, and I'm like, my God, they import Bruce Arians. They import Brady, brings Gronkowski, Brown. They signed my boy Ryan Jensen, who got a little banged up. And I thought, man, those people had some dark times down there. I mean, like, if you're a Buccaneers fan and you were used to tailgating or whatever, they had – 12 to 15 years of just wretchedness at the end of Gruden and sort of everything that happened after that. So there is a little rebirth for these. When we're on the outside, Cincinnati and Buffalo get to have a good time for the first time in 30 years, for crying out loud, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But I tell you what, it still doesn't feel good as a Ravens fan to watch all these other teams in the tournament, all these other fans, you know, having really significant reasons to watch and, you know, get dressed up in their team colors and roots. So as a fan, I miss that this week, and I'd be remiss if I told you that I was okay with it, because I really wasn't. Around here, it's almost a birthright for the Ravens to be in the playoffs. And so it was a weird feeling sitting at home for the first time, 3 years, watching other teams play, not named the Baltimore Ravens.
Do you have a rooting interest? I mean, in any way, is there anything that I'd like to see? Because when you sit and you watch, I feel the same way. If I don't, and this isn't like a gambling thing, because I'm not a gambler, but I see why people would say, I'll put $50 on the Bills this week. Give me something to, you know, it's a couple of beers, case of beer, it's a bottle of wine. It's what, and I'm like, all right, I don't need that sort of action, but I do like the drama of it. And I do like the history of it. And even when it's seeing Big Ben walk off for the last time, or the Chiefs, I mean, we act like the Chiefs have been winning a long time. My God, the Chiefs had 30 years of whatever the Bills have had. Certainly, the Bengals have had it worse than kind of anybody. That's sort of an unprecedented awfulness that they've endured. But I mean, for the Packers fans, it's been 30 years of fun. For us, it's been 30 years of fun. For the Steelers fans, it's been 30 years of fun. There's some more for the Patriots, even though their awfulness and losing the other night, it's been a long period of fun for them.
Well, I think no matter what you look at, there are compelling storylines with every team, Nestor. If you like freshness in your playoffs, then Josh Allen might be your guy. Or Jimmy Garoppolo has a chance of redemption, right? He lost the Super Bowl. If you like nostalgia, you've got the old guard and Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. So no matter what you're looking for, I think you can find it in these playoffs, because that opportunity presents itself for you to root for whoever you want to see get another ring. And for me, like you, I'm a fan. I'm wide open. I just want to see compelling matchups. I really enjoy the 49ers and Cowboys game. The other three games, not so much. I just want to see the game come down to the last minute, right? I don't want to see a blowout. You know, who wants to tune in to watch a train wreck, right? So to me, as long as we can see better games going forward, once we gotten past this past weekend of games, I think we have some really, really compelling games with great storylines on the horizon.
I know you're very proud of your association with the Ford Motor Group and the Ford logo and the Coons logo and what that represents. But imagine if you owned $1 billion, and maybe Ford would be that way, but the Dallas Cowboys. How about them Cowboys? And everything comes down to the clock burning and your leadership, management, acumen, athleticism, and you tell your quarterback to run up the middle with no time left. Like, I can't imagine. I mean, it's bad enough for John out here pounding sand, losing 6 games in a row, and Eric, and what they're going to endure the next 9 months. But when you get to the doorstep, it's a little bit of Billy Cundiff and we missed the kick, and Harbaugh really screwed that up because he didn't call timeout, right? I mean, like, in retrospect, we blame it on Billy Cundiff, but the coach should have called a timeout there and got the play set, and we didn't do that. So, there's always, coach makes $10 million a year. It's his decision. I don't know who to blame or in what circumstance, but I know when you're the Dallas Cowboys and that's your brand and this is your offseason and you're in your stadium doing your thing, you can't have the season end that way, man. That was terrible. That was terrible.
It was terrible. And as I was watching that game, when the Cowboys were down 23-7, Nestor, I quipped to my company that there's nothing worse than a home playoff loss. And I flashed back to 2006, that 15-6 game at the hands of the Colts with Peyton Manning, right? That game. So it's a really bad feeling when you're a home favorite and you're losing the game in the fashion that they did. Again, they made a comeback towards the end, mismanaged that play. I'm not a big Mike McCarthy fan. He's kept Aaron Rodgers, I think, from participating in multiple Super Bowls, but nothing worse than that kind of a loss at home. And Jerry Jones, very sullen, understandably so, after the game, not real talkative, right? This one's going to stay with him for a very, very long time.
Meanwhile, to the victors go the spoils. Thursday afternoon, Dennis will be here from 3 until 5 talking about that and the weekend and the games and Tom Brady and on and on. Listen, I don't talk baseball with you, like, because you don't want to talk baseball with me, and I don't want to talk baseball with you most of the time, right? So let's just call it what it is. This weekend, and maybe it's the Joe Ortiz going to the Giants, and nobody can get moved by that, although I can get moved by that because I know Joe and I know what it does when I come in and take your sales manager away, right? I mean, we know how that feels. But the baseball side that everybody on my timeline had an opinion on the left field thing, and I thought, I'm Nasty Nestor, or at least I used to be. I better find an opinion here on this, and it better be strong, and it better be anti-Angelos, and I can't even stay on brand here, right? Like, I'm trying to evaluate, like, I backed up off it. First off, it's a total Friday afternoon news dump. It's not something they're proud of. It's something they're running from. Then they act like they're proud of it. Then they release some video. Then they don't want to talk about it. Then the owner doesn't show up. Then the general manager shows up on a Zoom and talks about the calculation of the analytics of the pitching of the outfield of the, and then some fan says, dude, that was my seat. Well, like, I found that on the internet. You took my seat. So, like, they're so effed up in that way. So I don't think of it like this was like, they asked the fans, or they did a poll, or they did some science, or they talked to the stadium authority. They said, hey, who's paying for this? So I can get into all the politics of it, but just the baseball side of it, that people were worked up about it one way or another. And I'm not yet. I want to be worked up. I can't be. I can have fun with it and say, my part of it was this. Somebody said, well, this will help them to sign the best pitchers. I'm like, they could have had Jurassic Park or Yellowstone the last 25 years. They didn't sign pitchers, not because of the ballpark. That was a byproduct of it. But they didn't offer pitchers the most money. They never. So it wasn't about like Coors Field out in Colorado, where you had to pay Denny Nagel more to come to have a six ERA. This feels more really pissing off the people that are about aesthetics and about, you know, I love the ballpark and it's sacrosanct and it's hallowed ground and all of that. This is more about affecting the game in some way to give them a competitive advantage, that I scratch my head and say, okay, I'll believe that 5 years from now when I see it. Cause I don't feel a competitive advantage from this. I feel like it's an aesthetic difference.
See, I think if I was the GM of the Orioles, Nestor, I would have built my squad, and God knows if I had enough time to do so, to take advantage of the ballpark. For instance, I would have a lot of power hitters in my lineup. I would grow pitchers in a minor league that kept the ball low, like Tommy John back in the day. I would have a good defense. So that way, because the park is attractive to hitters, so that's what I would use it to my advantage. But I would also build my team to take advantage of my park. I wouldn't do what they're doing for a number of reasons, right? Because I think as a smart general manager, as a smart organizations, you can get these pitchers that throw the ball low, keep the ball on the lower half of the strike zone, and really frustrate the hitters that come to the ballpark, and use that bandbox to your advantage with how you construct your squad, not trying to play defense against the other, I don't know how many teams are in the league.
Well, I remember back in the 90s when I sit here and talk about this all day long with you and all of your friends and all of my friends. And there were a lot of people that, you know, we'd all have our season ticket books now and our 13 games picked out, and it would screw up your trip with your family down to the beach because, like, you had tickets for the White Sox game and you had to see Jack McDowell pitch, and the Yankees were coming in that weekend with, you know, Roger Clemens, and, you know, like, all of that. Gone, right? All the air is gone. But what they've now done is taken 15 home runs a year away from Adley Rutschman or whoever that home run hitter will be. Yeah. Where Chris Hoyles, if that porch didn't sit there, Chris Hoyles would have been a 13 home run guy instead of a 30 home run power. Like, I'm going back 30 years, and I'm not picking on Chris. I like Chris. I'm any player like that. They've now altered that part of it. So I don't know. Rob Peter, pay Paul. I don't know. Rob Peter, pay John. Rob, John, pay. There's nobody even out in front of this to say, here's what it is, why we're doing it, why we think it's a good idea. And it's such an easy thing to dispute. But then there's the part where, like, they didn't even let the fans know. Like, then there's the part where, like, you don't trust their expertise. You right. Do something out of Coons Ford, I look at you and say, well, Dennis has had a long history of selling cars. And if he amended the lot to do something to the pre-owned, it's clearly coming from a place of expertise and of being there, you know, of authenticity in some way. I don't even know who to ask and say, who's the Sharpie in the room here that's going to convince me this brings them a championship? And then so I can go to my audience and say, oh, no, Den, you're soaking wet on this. I talked to John Angelos. He's an expert. And he told me this is why you're wrong about that, because they couldn't sign the best hitters that they had to sign. But they gaslight. They like, I don't even know how to portray this if I'm Brett Hollander or I'm on their payroll in some sort of credible way, that there's some integrity behind me saying this is a great idea for sales, for the signage, for making left field an attractive place to be, or it fixes the seating bowl for seats that we're not selling. So I all of this would have been much more of a debate. Hey, man, my phone blew up over the weekend with the baseball tree huggers, right? The people that it's Camden Yards and how dare you mess with the aesthetic of blah, 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 blah. And I said, Mueller and I got into this about it, and I'm like, there's nothing special about Camden Yards in that way. It's not Fenway Park. It's not Cameron Indoor. It's not Touchdown Jesus. It's not the Rose Bowl. I don't feel like it's that in regard to its hallowed nature. I just feel like they're doing it as in a corporate way, like they do everything. And as a fan, that it's not meant for me to understand. It's meant for me to go spend $16 on a beer and sit on the porch.
Well, again, as a baseball outsider, Nestor, I can comment on this. To me, when I think of Camden Yards and the Orioles, I think of the warehouse, right? To me, that's what's special about Camden Yards. So as long as they're not messing with the warehouse, everything else is, I don't know how you would call it. Certainly, this small wall is not, doesn't have the dimensions of a Fenway Park, right? That storied green monster. So is this a mini green monster? What is it? What are you going to call it? But like you said, I don't know how much thought went into this thing, but to me, it's much ado about nothing. It's a knee jerk. And as you mentioned, if you pay the right pitcher the right money, he's coming to Baltimore. He'll go pitch in Siberia if you pay him enough money, and he'll keep the ball low and keep the ball in the park. That's what good pitchers do. So to me, it was, again, I don't know what they're trying to do, but like you said, they just weakened their offense, their own offense, if anything. That's what they did.
Yeah, you called it knee jerk. It took me a minute because I don't have my thesaurus here. And, you know, sometimes I look, by the way, I found my old thesaurus, which Roger, fantastic. The word for me, gimmick. You know, just a gimmick would be like that stupid hill they built in Houston years ago. Or, I mean, the warehouse is a bit of a gimmick, but it's a gimmick that works. It's a gimmick that works, it's called a tradition.
You know, every time somebody comes to my office, my store with a gimmick, an idea, I always ask them, will it help me sell more cars, right? So this idea of this wall, will it make the Orioles win more games? Will it put more fans in the seats, right? That's what I would ask. If I'm an owner and you're trying to pitch this story to me, I want to know, how does this benefit me, right? So for me to invest money and to do all these things and talk to the media and disrupt some fans, will it help me win more games? And can I monetize this? Am I going to make more money by making this move?
Well, we'll find out. I know this. They don't have a schedule. They don't have we can't buy a ticket. They don't mention their players on their websites. They're locked out at this point. They're at war. So the fact that we're talking about where seats are that we're never going to sit in for games that we might never watch, they should be worried. I mean, but people are talking about it, right? They're talking about the Baltimore Orioles and Camden Yards in some purgative ways. Some people like you and me are nonplussed. Where's the recruitment in it? You know, that's the part for me that we're talking about it, but it's not making me want to rush out there and see it or experience it or drink a beer next to it until the team gets better. So until they do that, Dennis, the last game I attended before the plague was Christmas in July. And that little area out in center field, they had snow machines. And I'm wearing my Padres jersey because it was the Padres were in town. And I'm thinking to myself, my dad wouldn't recognize this. You know, I don't know what this is. I mean, I get a bobblehead and a trinket and a Jim Palmer statue and like a meet Eddie Murray and like run the bases. I get all those things. Milk the cow. I get milk the cow. I get the crab game. But they do things that like Star Wars night. I don't know. But Alan McCallum loves it.
Now, this reminds me of old Italian judges. A lot of times when they were trying to make up their mind about a situation, they would ask themselves, She ne beneficia, which means who benefits, right? So that's what every time I see someone, an organization make a move like this, I'm always looking who benefits. And sometimes I pay a lot of attention to it. In this case, I really don't. I mean, because I've tuned out a long, long time ago, man. It just, you can offer me a suite, you can offer me free parking, you can offer me free food, free beverages. And you know what? It's still going to be, it's going to be difficult for me to go to Camden Yards to take in the ball game.
I'm going to get you back next year. I'm going to become the guy who recruits you back now. Cause you know, I'm moving to the county this week, which means I don't love the city, which is crazy because I'm going to be in the city more than I'm in the county. Cause I'm in the county. Even though I live in the city, I'm in the county all the time. Nobody says anything. Like my business is in the county. All my businesses I do business with lie. Half of them are in the county. So it's a weird dynamic, but I'm going to be the recruitment guy. The free the birds guy okay. is going to be the fill the bowl guy.
The last time I went to a ball game was July the 4th. I can't tell you what year. And I had a great time. They had fireworks afterwards. I did not see a single pitch. I sat there. I schmoozed. I talked to a lot of great people, shared a lot of great stories, a lot of fun. But
well, then that's what we need to do then. We need to go share. But we don't need to. You and I will do that fly fishing, I think.
There you go. And the Orioles lost 2-0 that day, by the way. So there was not a whole lot of activity on the field that would interest me as a you know.
Well, dude, that's the thing about this fence. There's going to be flyouts now. They're just going to be, you know, there's going to be four balls hit every night that might have been a home run that's going to be an out. And Luke will say, well, there'll be two others. It'll be a double and a triple. And I'll be like,
hey, okay. I'd rather see home runs. I'm an American. I like scoring.
Chicks dig the long ball. You know that.
Hey,
Dennis Galazzo digs football. He'll be here on Thursday talking like, well, you do more football. You let Robbie talk baseball once in a while with some of the other guys.
I listen. You know, I pay attention. I want to see them do well. I want to see them be successful. I want to have something to root about. I don't want to go to the stadium to watch other teams' superstars. I want to watch our own superstars. Is that too much to ask for as a fan? And you give me that, I'll support it.
I've had the radio station now almost 24 years. And I remember the word we would always use when they went, because I got the station in 98 and they had already jumped the shark, right? So by the time I hit the airwaves, they were done. They would not play a meaningful game for 15 years, right? Or 13 years till 11 or 12, whatever. I don't know. I get it all mixed up, but I don't get my life mixed up. And I know this. 98, they went off the cliff. I remember sitting with Mark Messina and Alan McCallum in 1999. And all we would say at that point was, we want them to be relevant. And then they hire Hargrove and Albert Bell. And then they never were relevant again. And that period with Buck Showalter, and you mentioned Dan Duquette, and you mentioned Andy McPhail, they signed sinker ball pitchers. They got guys that could hit the ball out of the ballpark. They played defense. They managed the bullpen. They drafted good players like Machado and Markakis and Weeders that actually came in and performed, right? They got lucky with Bruce Chen and Wei and Chen and Gonzalez and a couple of guys. Mm-hmm. These are names. I've mentioned these guys' names in 5 years. And then they watched Zach Britton sit on the end of the bench and then bring him in, and they haven't been heard from again. That's 5-6 years ago now. Relevant, right? I want it to be relevant. If it's not relevant, I'll go fish, right? Literally.
Hey, I'm with you. You know, I don't expect people to come to my establishment. I don't expect people to spend money with you. If we're not relevant, we're not giving value. So that's, to me, that's a fundamental of any organization. You take care of the customer. You give them reasons to patronize you, right? You don't give them reasons to find other things to do on a nice sunny morning.
We're talking baseball. That's half the trick, right? Don't let them tell. Don't tell them that. Don't tell them that I was here trying to promote their product. Dennis Galazzo's. I promote his product. We get the Coons Ford Security Boulevards here Thursday from 3 until 5. And then again on Sunday mornings, getting you ready for more football. What's going on out on the lot right now? Little shoveling, but we had snow and then rain to begin the week. That kind of helps wash it away, man. But I know you're selling some four wheel out there this week too, right?
Oh, we got about 175 new vehicles, which is probably quadruple than most new car dealers out there. So we have a very good selection, over 300 used cars in stocks. A lot of them are four-wheel drive, all-wheel drive, which you really need these days to get around. I was out and about over the weekend, and you got to have 4x4, and you got to watch out for ice too, folks. Any new drivers out there, or if you're a first-time user of a 4x4, stay off of ice because nothing will stop you from sliding. So use caution out there, and we have a lot of safe vehicles that will protect you and your family here at Coons Baltimore Ford.
I want to give Brandon Scott, our mayor, a free plug here because, you know, things were rough last week and the Marilyn Mosby thing and like all that. And they have a press conference with Brandon and he tells everybody to stay off the streets, that on Sunday night they should be home rooting against the Steelers in the snowstorm. And I looked out my window. It's the last snowstorm downtown. Well, it might snow again on Thursday, but, you know, we're moving. So we have some emotions about looking out and watching it snow for the last time in 18 years. I'm looking at Camden Yards, took a picture of it in the snow. I've got 1,000 of them. I've been, you know what I mean? Not 1,000, but I got 100. I've been here 18 years. And I looked out and it was like 2 or 3 inches. It was kind of getting smarmy during that Dallas San Francisco game. And I looked out and I thought, why does anybody need to be out right now? You've known for 5 days it was going to snow. But to your point, I had a guy call me and say, hey, you need to plow, you know, your place. And I'm like, people are out. So, you know, if you are out, be careful. That's all right. And four-wheel drives, if you don't have four-wheel drive, don't go out.
Yeah, don't go out. We saw some vehicles out there that were rear-wheel drive that were really struggling, that were fishtailing all over the road. And they really posed a threat not only to themselves, but everybody else around them. You know, if you don't have a 4x4, do not go out in that kind of weather.
See, this makes you a magnanimous, good human being, because I know you want them in your body shop. You just don't want them in your body shop like that.
No, not like that. Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah, not when it involves human life and human loss potential. So
I did business with a body shop, and they were telling me, we won't promote any time except the day after the snowstorm. We don't want to be on the radio that day.
Right. Yeah, bad karma. You don't need to do that.
Yeah.
That's something Jerry Jones would.
Well, yeah, it's bad karma to run when you have no timeouts left with your quarterback, too. But we saw how that worked out, right?
Yes, absolutely. So you can, you know what? I don't think Mike McCarthy's safe. So this is going to be this story is going to still have a lot of chapters to go between Mike McCarthy and Jerry Jones.
And the wild thing is how many jobs are out there. I know Joe Ortiz was running around. There are a lot of jobs and there's a lot of seats and there's a lot of, and Marvin taught me this 25 years ago, the extenuating circuit. I remember Marvin, I'll give you in a way back machine. I love telling these stories on your show on Thursday, but when Brian got the job, Marvin didn't think he was staying. I mean, Marvin didn't know Brian and just assumed Brian was going to bring Rex Ryan, somebody he knew, right? And I don't think Brian knew Rex either. Brian was the king of bringing in people he didn't know. Brian was, a lot of the guys weren't available, didn't want to come to Baltimore, under contract other places. Brian had been in the Denny Green tree and the Bill Walsh tree, but wasn't like that guy. Marvin thought he was going to be the linebackers coach for George Seifert in Carolina. There was a job in Philadelphia, and Gunther Cunningham was very close with Marvin. And Gunther wound up being very close with Jim Schwartz. Gunther Cunningham got the Kansas City job. Marvin thought he was going to go be the DC for Gunther. So there was all of this stuff, and Marvin was convinced he was leaving. His life was upended. And this was during that period of time where I would call him. And we talked twice a day about, well, I think I'm doing this. I think I'm doing that. I think I'm doing this. I think I'm doing that. And he wound up staying here. Brian came in, and Ozzy loved Marvin and said, Brian, you should consider keeping Marvin. And he kept Marvin, and look how that worked out. But this is one man's life, right? Marvin was in that spot. All of the, everybody on the Brian Flores tree, all of these people are moving around. This is a really tumultuous time for people that know coaches. And I know you know a bunch of coaches too.
It is, but you know what? I'm glad you shared that story. I didn't know that about Brian Billick. And that's in sharp contrast to John Harbaugh, right? John, I mean, I think he has to know people he's bringing in. He's almost too loyal, and I think that sometimes works against him instead of bringing some fresh blood, fresh ideas versus like-minded people like himself, right? So I'm glad you brought that up as a contrast between these two successful head coaches.
Well, Brian, absolutely. Brian loves new stuff. It's part of Brian's DNA. Is the only way we're going to get better is to have something new in here that's going to piss me off and I'm going to fight with somebody. Brian would even say, I bring him in, we MF each other, and we come out with a plan. We come out with the best plan. Not my plan, the best plan. Because Brian's plan was not Trent Dilfer. We saw that.
Hey, you know
20
what?
Years
yeah,
later,
you know what?
That was not Brian's idea. You know, it just wasn't.
You know, even perfect apples get bruised if you're going to, you know, moving around. And I guess my style is more Brian Billick than John Harbaugh in that regard. I love fresh ideas. I like to scrimmage with people. And when I get in a position, if you can talk me off of it, I listen. If you can make a good argument.
There you go. All right. Well, we'll make that. I'll try to do that on Thursday with you. That's what I'm going to try to do. Convince you of something that you don't believe.
We go back and forth.
I like that.
Maybe face great, less filling.
The Dennis Colazzo scrimmage. on Thursday. I like that. We're going to go with that. He's here on Thursday from 3 until 5. You can find him out on Twitter at D Colazzo Show. And of course, you can usually find him anytime over at Security Boulevard, right on the Coonsford lot. We will continue on here. I'm doing a lot of politics, election stuff. I'm doing a lot of winter food stuff because the Maryland Crab Cake Tour is hiatus, at least for a little while. I'm doing a lot of nachos and salsa right now and margaritas and doing some boxing and unboxing. And I'm not even Canadian. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.